Let's give this choir another round of applause. Amen. It is good to be here. I say it's good to be here. To this esteemed pastor, Dr. Leach, to the first lady of this very fine church, to my first lady, to the Home Mission Society of Morningstar, to all the members of Morningstar, it's good to be back here. Amen. We look forward to having you over to New Bethel in our revival week after next, and we are looking forward to a grand occasion as you come and share with us. As your pastor said, I am a preacher from Arkansas, and I don't know any way to preach but to be country. So if I don't seem to be dignified, you realize I just come from Arkansas, and I don't know no better. Is that all right? I hope that's all right. Because y'all know what you was getting for your call. But in a very serious note, we thank you for your invitation and your kindness and your generosity. And we do not take this opportunity lightly. I truly believe that there must be a preparation of the mind for not only the congregants, but also for the preacher. And one way to which I get focused, realizing who I am and the God that I serve, is one of my favorite songs, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Why don't you stand and sing with me? Praise God, praise God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving and almighty God, we come as humbly as we know how. We thank you, O God, for this mission society that has been on the battlefield for an awfully long time. Father, we thank you, O God, for what you have done in their lives. We thank you, O God, for that which you are doing, and God, we thank you for that which you shall do in reaching the least among our society, telling them of a dying Savior who rose again on the third day with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. So, God, we thank you for the work to which you have placed in their hands with all the gifts, talents, and abilities which they share with those that are in need, that you, O God, may be edified and glorified in this place and in the lives of those to whom they touch. Now, Lord, as I stand behind this most sacred of all desks, allow me now to decrease as you must increase. For there is no name in heaven or in earth by which one can be saved other than the mighty name of you. So allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be found acceptable in thy holy and righteous sight. Our Lord, our God, our Redeemer, we do pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Psalms 34? Psalms 34. Psalms 34. A familiar psalm. If you have it, say amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. I would like to use as a subject briefly, bless, depressed, but highly favored. Bless, depressed, but highly favored. Y'all gonna pray with me? I know many of you say I'm too blessed to be depressed. But David was a man who was depressed, but he was highly favored. This psalm comes out of an embarrassing incident in David's life. He was running from King Saul. Saul was out to kill him. He was starving, and he ran to the priest, and the priest gave him showbread. And he stole Goliath's sword from the tabernacle. An informant told Saul where David was, and he had to flee again. He ran from Israel territory into the land of the Philistines. It was rather bizarre, because Philistine was the homeland of Goliath, who David had killed. David wasn't long there before they discovered who he was. They said, "Is it not so that Saul kills thousands and David killed tens of thousands?" He jumped from the frying pan into the fire. Therefore, David acted like he was a madman, acted like he was insane. And he was able to fool and escape the snares, the cares of the king. But this didn't honor God. For acting like a madman in front of pagans, God was not pleased with David. After David recovered from this embarrassing incident, David penned Psalms 34. Let us be clear today, morning star. This psalm is not for everyone. Let's be clear that this may not apply to you. Let's be clear that you may have lived a perfect life, and if by chance you lived a perfect life, this psalm is not for you. If you never done nothing wrong, this psalm is not for you. If you never been embarrassed by what you have done or what you have said, this psalm is not for you. If by chance everybody bowed down to you when you come into the room, this psalm is not for you. If everybody loves you, nobody scandalized your name, this psalm is not for you. Y'all gonna pray with me? If everybody loves you, come on now. Church folk love you. This psalm is not for you. This psalm is for those of us who have done things wrong and those of us who've had trials and tribulations in our lives. It is for those that have problems to which they had to face. If by chance you had to cry unto your God, this psalm is for you. I'm convinced that to be a blessed person doesn't mean that you are exempt from problems. I know popular theology and popular preaching says that if by chance you love the Lord, you're going to have plenty of money. You're going to have money just coming down out of the sky. If by chance you are a child of God, everybody going to love you. If by chance you are a devout person of God, you will never be sick. Those who preach this prosperity preaching is not of the Bible to which I have read. Because the words of Jesus who said, in this world you will have trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Don't you think it's strange, baby, when you got problems in your life? God didn't promise that we will live a promiseless existence. All of us got something to which we have to go through sometime, somehow. James said, count it all joy. One preacher said, God has a strange way of counting. He said, when you're going through trials and when you're going through problems, you thank God not for the problems, but for that which God is going to show you through the problems that you face. God doesn't cause the problem, but God can use the problem to vehicle to victory. I was moved by a preacher this week who talked about the ox that was in the stable. If the ox is in the stable, there will be minutiae. Y'all know what minutiae is? But if there is no ox in the stable, there cannot be any harvest. What is he saying? That if by chance you're doing the work to which God has called you to do, everybody's not going to like you all the time. Everybody's not going to agree with you all the time. Everybody's not going to be happy with you all the time. But you, baby, you just keep doing it and God will give the harvest. Don't you give up on God. God never promised that this work would be easy. But I've come to the conclusion that when God stirs my nest, when minutiae happens in my life and in my ministry, there is blessing on the way. That when you are favored by God, God will use the mess in your life to elevate you to greatness. But we don't want to go through nothing. We want to live on a bed of ease. We want everything comfortable. We want everything our way. We want everybody to like us. We want everything to go smoothly. I don't want problems and you don't want problems, but you ought to see your problem as an opportunity to be blessed of God and to be a blessing to God. Suffering will come to those who are the saints of God. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If Jesus had problems, why do you think that you won't have problems? If Jesus had problems, we're going to have problems. And if by chance Jesus was victorious, we shall be victorious in Jesus. Not in our own strength, not in our own might, but in the strength, might, and righteousness of God. I'm convinced that when a blessing is on its way, Satan get busy. That ain't popular preaching anymore because folk don't believe in the devil. Folk don't believe in hell anymore. If a preacher starts talking about hell, first thing they want to do is get rid of him or her. That's fire and brimstone. We don't want to hear that. We just want to feel good. But if there's a heaven, there's a hell. And if there's a God, there is a Satan. And I'm here to tell you that when you are on the battlefield for your Lord, Satan will be on your track. You start having problems in the church. You start having problems in your home. You start having problems on your job. Your health breaks down. All things, or can I say it the way I want to say it? All hell break loose. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody know what I'm talking about. But you just keep on hanging in there. You just keep doing what God tells you to do. And God will show up and show out in your life. But when we go through suffering, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. What am I saying to us here, Morning Star? That when you go through trials and when you go through tribulation, you don't have to suffer all by yourself. The scripture says you can look to the hills which come at your help. Your help comes from the Lord. Don't you know you're stronger on your knees than when you're on your feet? Sometimes God allowed through his permissive will things to come in our lives to pull our coattail and let us know that he's still God. Let's be clear. Everything that happened to us is not God's will. Oftentimes, it is God's permissive will. But in the midst of the suffering to which we must endure, God is a very present help in times of trouble. And the winds and the waves of our life must submit itself to God's will when God said, peace be still. Let me share with you. I won't charge you for this. One great theologian has said, peace is the condition of the heart when grace has done its perfect work. Peace is the condition of the heart when grace has done its perfect work. It means that when you turn your problems and your situation over to God and you trust God, you will have peace. The years of our God is attended to our cry. Don't you know God hear every utter we make? Don't you know that God cares for you and God cares for me? Don't you know that God will never forsake us or leave us? When you're doing the work of God and when you're doing that which God has commanded you, when you do what God has ordained for you to do, don't you know God hears your cry? I am thankful. You are to be thankful that we have a God who cares for us. That God is not some distant God, some distant God. He is a very present help. He is the great Emmanuel, God with us and God for us, and a God who will not leave us in time of need or time of concern. In the midst of David's depression, in the midst of his disillusionment, in the midst of his anger even toward God for allowing him to be in the situation to which he was in, he knew that he had a God to whom he could turn. I want you to know, missionaries, there are going to be some nights that you can't sleep. You have to roll out of your bed and allow the side of your bed to be your altar, and you have to call on your God. When everybody else has gone to sleep, when everybody else have made their way to the bed of peace, you turn to the God to whom you have trusted all of your life. Psalmist said, if it had not been for the Lord on his side, whither shall he be? What am I trying to tell you? Don't give up on God. Don't quit God. You come too far to turn around now. God has not given up on you. You are not to give up on God. I know life can be tough and life can be rough and life can be unfair and unjust, but I'm here to tell you, God can right the wrong in your life. He's more than able to do more abundantly than we asked of him. He knew where his deliverance came. Yes, David was able to testify when he went through all that he went through, Saul trying to kill him, almost starved to death in the land of his enemies. He knew that it was God's hands of deliverance. I'm here to tell you that God can make a way out of no way. God can reach down in the pit of your life and put your feet on solid ground. God can do more than we can ever ask of him. We can put all our trust in on God. But he says, his praise shall continually be in his mouth. It is one thing to praise God when you're on the mountaintop. It's another thing to praise God when you're in the valley. It is easy for us to praise God when everything is going our way. But can we praise God and thank God when things are not going our way? When bills are stacked high and mortgage bills are out of the roof and God knows you got to hide your car that it won't get repossessed, and when church folk don't act right and when wife don't act right and husband don't act right and children don't act right and people on your job are not acting right, can you still praise God? Can you praise God anyhow? God want an anyhow kind of people. I want you to know, I've learned to praise God anyhow. With no money in my pocket, I praise God. When I don't have a friend to call on, I praise God. When everybody else have turned their back against me, I still praise God. Because I know what God has done for me. And if he did it yesterday, he can do it today. And I have hope for tomorrow. Because my God is God all by himself. I will magnify the Lord. The scriptures that magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I'm not the only one to whom he delivered, but he has delivered you. And the scripture says, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. If God has been good to you, you ought to tell somebody. If God has delivered you, you ought to tell somebody. If God has made... I'm going to tell it wherever I go, because God has been too good to me. He picked me up and turned me around and placed my feet on solid ground. He blessed me when I didn't deserve a blessing. Because I was highly favored, God blessed me. And God will bless you, because God is a good God. God is a great God. God is an awesome God. If you don't believe me, taste and see. Taste for yourself. Mama religion can't do it. Daddy religion can't do it. Husband religion can't do it. Wife religion can't do it. Children religion can't do it. You got to taste God for yourself. I tasted him a long time ago. And I want you to know today that nobody, absolutely nobody, I mean nobody, my wife loves me, my kids love me, but I'm here to tell you, nobody, absolutely nobody, I say nobody, can do me like Jesus. How many folk
should know that God is good and His mercy. I say His mercy. I'm too blessed. I am sometimes depressed, but I am highly favored. When you have the favor on God on your life, don't you worry. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. You stay on the battlefield and God will show up and show out in your life. He's a good God. He's a great God. He is an awesome wonder. And because He lives, I can face the day and I can hope for tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone. Oh, I know. I ain't tell you what I read in a book, but I know. I'm not telling you what I heard somewhere. I know. I know. I know. I know. I know for myself that He is a good God. He's awesome. God loved me when I didn't love myself. And because He did, I'm going to tell it on the mountain and even in the valley. David was blessed, depressed, but he's highly favored. Missionaries, don't forget that you are blessed of God. Sometimes it get weary and nights get long. But remember, you are highly favored of our God. May God bless you and may God keep you is our prayer.
Blessed, depressed, but still highly favored. Isn't God a good God? Isn't God a good God? He so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life.